You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the new Redeemer Theological Academy. Last time we began a lecture series on an introduction to theology. So on this day, we continue our discussion about theology. Now again, theology is the study of the knowledge of God and divine things. In our last lecture, we began to make a distinction between natural knowledge on the one hand, which is learned through the observation of creation, and on the other hand, revealed knowledge, which cannot be learned through the observation of creation. So today we will expand upon that meaning of the revealed knowledge. You see, when we talk about theology, and we talk about true theology and this revealed knowledge, it will all be centered in the revelation of the Son of God. For in the revealing of Jesus, we have the totality of what God desires for us to know about Him and what He has done for us. So all true theology is about the revealing of Jesus, through which we gain the knowledge of salvation. Now, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, He was revealed to be the Son of God. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. Now in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we hear the account in this way in the third chapter. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That's Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. In this revealing of the Son, in this divine revelation of God, we see the heavens open. So that in the opening of heavens, who do we see but the man Jesus of Nazareth standing in the water? And upon Him is the Holy Spirit who descends like a dove to rest upon Him as the Anointed One. And then the Father's voice is heard revealing to us exactly who this Son is. That this is the Son of God, the one in whom God is well pleased. The voice says, "This is My beloved Son." And so here we have Jesus being marked by the Holy Spirit as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, John the Baptizer was sent out to reveal Jesus to the people of Israel. He was to wait for the one upon whom the Holy Spirit descended. And upon that one, that is the coming one, the one that the baptizer was sent out to reveal as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So in this account of the baptism of Jesus, we have this divine revelation revealing to us the knowledge of salvation in the Son of God. Now apart from this action and others like it, we could not know who Jesus truly is, what Jesus came to do. But it is God who shines light on Jesus to declare to us both who He is and what He does. We are to listen to Him, the one who is to take the sin of the world away. So thus, in chapter 17 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is once again revealed to be the Son of God at the Transfiguration. Now again, natural knowledge would see the water in the Jordan River. Natural knowledge would see and observe the mount on which Peter, James, and John came. But that's all that it could see. It could just see a mountain where the man of Nazareth stands. It could see the water of the Jordan where the son of Mary stands. But now we see something different when we have the revealed knowledge from God. So that in the Transfiguration in Matthew's Gospel, we hear this. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now this is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Here the Father reveals to the disciples that Jesus is the beloved Son of God, and that they are to listen to him. The Father reveals the significance of the person of Jesus in the words of Jesus. In these words, there is life. Now, also in Matthew's Gospel, back in chapter 11, we are told of the time when the disciples of John the Baptizer were sent to Jesus to ask him if he were the long-awaited Messiah. Is he the coming one? Because natural knowledge wouldn't reveal it to you, but revealed knowledge does. So this event took place while the baptizer was in prison. Jesus pointed the disciples of John to the miracles that he was doing, because they revealed who he truly is. He has come to restore creation. He has come to bring God's reign upon earth in this fallen creation. And so Jesus confirms that he is the one who was sent to bring the good news to the captives. And so in verse 25, here's what Jesus then further declares as he converses with the Father. Jesus says, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That's from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Here the Father reveals to us that Jesus is his beloved Son. Then the Father tells us, listen to Jesus. Jesus tells us to come to him to find rest for our souls. Jesus tells us that he alone knows the Father, and he reveals the Father to us. So you see, in this revealed knowledge we gain from God, it is the Father who reveals the Son, and it is the Son who reveals the Father. Without the Son, we have not the Father. Without the Father, we have not the Son. So that God reveals himself to us in Jesus the Christ, our Redeemer. In the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14, Jesus tells us that he is the only way to the Father. As the heavens open for Jesus at the baptism in the Jordan, Jesus himself opens the heavens for us to know who God is. So as Jesus was preparing for his crucifixion in which he would atone for the sins of the world, he gathers his disciples and he says this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where to where I am going." Now Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." That's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. In this account, we see Thomas, who is stuck in this whole realm of natural knowledge. He has got his mind not on the things of God, but rather his mind is on the things of man. How can anyone know the way to the Father unless it is revealed? It takes revealed knowledge to give to us the knowledge of salvation, the knowledge of the access to the Father through the Son. Thus, it is Jesus who comes to reveal to Thomas the Father, gaining for Thomas access to God. Jesus is the way to the Father. Now, in a like manner, Philip also, having his mind on the things of man and not the things of God, Philip desires to see the Father. Thus, Philip said to Jesus in chapter 14, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." That's John chapter 14, verses 8 through 11. Again, to know Jesus is to know the Father. Father reveals the Son, and it's the Son who reveals the Father. To know the love and compassion and mercy and grace of God is to know the love and compassion and mercy and grace in Jesus. Jesus reveals to us the true heart of the Father. Through Jesus, we see God as our dear Heavenly Father, who graciously cares for us. In Jesus, we see God. In Jesus, God sees us. Because of Jesus, God sees us as his beloved children in whom he is well pleased. For those who are in Christ, that is, those who have been baptized into Christ, have been united into his death and resurrection. And those who are in Christ are now a new creation. Those who are in Christ, now the Father sees as well-pleasing. You see, the whole subject of theology is about the knowledge of God. And true knowledge of God comes only through Jesus Christ. Therefore, the goal of theology is faith in Jesus Christ here on earth and life with God into eternity, forever and ever. But this is why Jesus has come, to bring us to God. This is why Jesus has come, is to reveal God's love for us. Jesus comes to reveal who God is, reconciling sinners to the Creator. In John chapter 4, you have the woman at the well, and she knows about the coming Messiah, for it has been revealed to her in the prophets of old, in the Old Testament scriptures. And so the woman is very much aware that the Messiah would come, the Christ, the anointed one, who would restore creation and usher in the eternal kingdom. But in John chapter 4, verse 19, she doesn't know that the very Christ she's anticipating is standing right in front of her. So in chapter 4, verse 19, we pick up here. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I, who speak to you, am he." This is from John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 19 through 26. Again, we have the woman here who knows about the coming Messiah because it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit in the prophets of old. And so she knew that when the Messiah came, he would reveal all things. He would tell us all things. He would give to us the knowledge of God. And Jesus now reveals to her that he is the one. He is the coming one, the one who reveals God. Now, this woman did not know this before, even though she knew that the Messiah was coming. It still needed to be revealed to her who the Messiah is, that Jesus himself is the Messiah. Now, in chapter 9 of John's Gospel, we hear about how Jesus came and healed a blind man, a man who could not see with his physical eyes. And then when he's healed by Jesus, he is kicked out of the synagogue. And so you see in John chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus hears about this. And so at verse 35, we pick up. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." So here in this miracle, which reveals who Jesus is, the one who comes to reveal the knowledge of God, the miracle shows forth that a man who is blind physically, his eyesight is restored that he may once again see things as natural knowledge would give him to see. And so he sees this man of Nazareth. He sees another man just like him. but it's the revealed knowledge through the word of Jesus, that he listens to Jesus, and in that voice of Jesus comes faith. For faith comes from the word of Jesus. Jesus opens his spiritual eyes, if you will, so that he may see the heavenly reality before him. The man who is talking to him is none other than the Son of God, the Son of David, the divine Son of Man who Daniel had prophesied about. He is the one who was coming who would reveal all things. But unless Jesus reveals this to this man, he would not know. And so Jesus comes to bring the knowledge of salvation through revealed knowledge in his spoken word. As the Father tells us, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." You see, unless it is revealed to us by the word of Jesus, we would never be able to know that God and sinner are now reconciled in Jesus Christ. He is the one mediator between man and God. This is given to us as a gift in revealed knowledge. Unless it was revealed to us, we would never know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. You see, theology is rooted in the proper understanding of who God is, the understanding of salvation in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus alone can eternal life be found. Jesus said in John chapter 17, "And this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." You see, apart from Jesus, there is no eternal life, but only eternal death. Through believing in the words of Jesus, one has eternal life. Jesus says in John chapter 5, starting at verse 22, "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." That's John chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. You see, Jesus came so that we would have life in him. Yet, it's sad to say, people refuse to hear the words of Jesus. They rejected his message in those days. They rejected him, and even in our day, there are those who reject his message and continue to reject him. You see, those are they who prefer to remain in the dark rather than come to the light, believe, and have life. But it is Jesus who comes to reveal to us who his true identity is. He is the very one through whom life comes. Through whom life comes in the very beginning of time, the one who sustains life as we continue to live on earth in time, waiting for the last day in the new heavens and new earth. You see, Jesus revealed who he was in his miracles as he restored creation, as he sustained creation. He heals a blind man, recovering the sight that he should have had before sin came into the world. And then he feeds the 5,000, showing that it's from his hand that all are satisfied with their daily bread. But yet, after feeding the 5,000, we are told that many of the followers of Jesus stopped listening to his words and thus ceased from following him. But it's the Father who says, "Listen to him." But yet natural man doesn't want to listen to Jesus. The natural man is at enmity with God. He doesn't want to hear God's voice. Now, Jesus had already explained that he is the way and that no one can come to the Father unless it is granted to him by the Son. And no one can come to the Son unless it is granted to him by the Father. So at this point, Jesus asked the 12 disciples, are they going to follow him and continue to listen to his words as the Father had told them? The Father drew them to Jesus. Jesus draws them to the Father. The Father reveals Jesus. Jesus reveals the Father. And so Jesus says, are you going to go like these others and stop listening? But it is Simon Peter who answers Jesus in verse 68 of John chapter 6. And he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. John chapter 6, verses 68 through 69. You see, it had been revealed to Peter that Jesus has the words of eternal life. It was the Father who revealed to Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my Son, listen to him. It was the Father who revealed to Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But see, in this present life, the natural mind can't help but just refuse to cling to revealed knowledge. The natural mind wants to be stuck in natural knowledge. The natural mind wants to be stuck in the things of man and not cling to the things of God. But it's the revealed knowledge of God that sets the minds right. It puts the minds on these spiritual realities. As we are human by nature, we continue to struggle with this tendency to rely on natural reality. But it is God who continues to come to us with his word in order to set our minds on heavenly realities. It is God who continues to come to us to renew our minds with his word, the word that reveals to us Jesus. And Jesus, the one who reveals to us God. It is the Holy Spirit that continues to work through the mouth of his prophets in the written scriptures of the Old Testament, speaking about the coming Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who continues to work through the mouths of the apostles in the written scriptures of the New Testament that reveal to us who Jesus is, giving to us the knowledge of salvation. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of the person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. You see, the scripture is given to us as a gift in order to reveal to us Jesus. The Holy Spirit worked through the mouths of the prophets to give them this revealed knowledge, and then he works in our hearts as we listen to the prophets and the apostles, so that we too would come to believe that Jesus is the Christ and in him there is life. So thus, theology is the study of the revealed knowledge of God, specifically the revealed knowledge of Jesus, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins, in whom we have the knowledge of salvation. The goal of our theological endeavors is to know our Redeemer.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.